Our text this morning is in the 9th verse. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. In order for us to get to the meaning of the text, I want to define the terms that are found in the text, first of all. Now, if you use a Strong's Concordance, or if you have that device on your cell phone or your computer, let me point out something. When you look up the definition of a word, when you see the definition of the word, when you see the word, you're going to see the definition immediately after it. But what most people don't know, the definition stops at the colon dash. Now, a colon is just two dots, if you don't remember, and a dash. That means that everything after that is not a definition of the Greek or the Hebrew word. And it's important to remember that. I was reviewing a book for one of our more capable men that he had written. And he was quoting from Strong's Concordance several different times and did not know that simple thing. You've got to read the instructions to that dictionary to get that. If you don't, you miss it. But at any rate, it's important to do that. So I mention that. So if at any time you see that definition, stop at the colon and the dash. The rest of it just simply means how it's translated in various places. All right, now the first thing that I want to mention is the word abide, because he says here that if you abide not in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. And the word transgress here is very interesting. It's hard to translate it into English. But what it actually means is that an individual is going beyond what is written. It's not talking about just a bare transgression. It's talking about an individual that looks at the doctrine of Christ and he's not satisfied with it, and he goes on beyond that. And if you recognize this, you will know that this is a serious problem. I'll give you an illustration or two. I'm sure that many of you know that there are now people, these are usually women, incidentally, that say that Jesus Christ talks to them and tells them what to write down, and they write it down, and they're selling books, and they're making millions, and it's a lie. No such thing happened since the inspiration of this book was closed when John finished Revelation. The hand of God shut the book, and there has never been an inspired word from heaven since then, and there won't be until Jesus Christ shouts at his second coming. So don't be deceived. Don't believe this man that tells you that he spent 90 minutes in heaven, and I don't care if he's a Baptist preacher, because that's what he is. He didn't spend 90 minutes in heaven, and I don't know where he was, and he probably don't know either, but I know he wasn't in heaven. All of that is false. And when individuals transgress according to the text, what they're doing, they're saying, I got to put the scripture behind me because it's not enough. It doesn't go far enough. I am able to go further. And I've learned more, I'm going to learn more. And it goes into all of those areas. And you might as well go into magic and You might as well join one of those Indian gurus, and all of that kind of thing has nothing to do with the scripture. Don't believe it. Don't receive it. You notice what he said in verse 10. If anyone comes to you and doesn't bring this doctrine, don't receive him in your house. You know what that means? Don't read the book. Don't buy the book. That stuff is garbage. You've got the inspired word of God. You don't need anything like that. Now, there are good books, and I recommend them. But don't you ever get into that kind of stuff. Those individuals that say they've contacted the dead. You know, Houdini investigated that. Houdini was a magician. And he went to several of those people that claimed they contacted the dead. He said, I can prove to you exactly how they do all those tricks they do. And they didn't contact the dead. And he wasn't even a Christian. But he exposed the error of all of that stuff. So what I'm saying up front is this term, transgression, tells you, you better stay away from that. Because whoever transgresses, whoever goes beyond what's written and abides not in the doctrine of Christ, he does not have God. And those people that are trying to sell that stuff, this scripture applies to them, and I didn't say it, God said it. Then also we need to look at the word doctrine. Now doctrine is what so many people say, I don't want it. I've actually had people say, I hate doctrine. I don't like doctrine. That is one of the most stupid things anybody ever said. I want you to think about it like this. I've done a lot of teaching in the trade. I've taught welding. I've taught the millwright's apprenticeship. What would you think of a student that come to you and said, I don't want to be taught. I don't want any teaching. Is that ignorant? I don't know of anything you can compare it with. It's absolutely insane. And so when you come to the doctrine of the scriptures, it's nothing but the teaching of God. And you ought to be desiring to learn what God says, because this is the truth above all other truth. And it will guide you in your life, and it will guide you in your death. And if you believe it and do what it says, you'll be saved by the grace of God. Is that something you don't want? Anybody that tells you that don't know what they're talking about. Therefore, recognize the doctrine, the teaching of the Bible is the most important thing, he says here. And so if you don't abide in the teaching of God, of Christ, you don't have God. But he that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Then the other word, whosoever. You know, that's the first word in the text. Whosoever. That means anybody, everybody. You, me, or anybody else. It doesn't make any difference if it's of a person that comes to you as a friend. Or if he comes to you as an authority on the scriptures. If they're going beyond the scripture, don't receive it. Don't believe it. Make sure that you verify every doctrine you believe by the scripture and by the scripture alone. All right, let's look at the theme of abiding in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. First of all, and this is most important, you must first be in Christ before you can abide in his doctrine. You've got to be in Christ. You've got to know Jesus Christ. And why is that? Well, because being saved is the most essential, the most spiritual, and the most permanent relationship that we ever have anything to do with in this world. My wife and I have been married almost 65 years. I remember the day that I first met her, and I took her out canoeing. And then on the 6th of December, 1958, we were married in the chapel at the little Marine base where I was stationed by a Lutheran chaplain. And that's supposed to be a permanent thing. I know that we can't control all of these things and all of these divorces and all of the troubles that come in marriages. But it was designed to be a permanent union. What God has joined together, let not man put asunder. But let me tell you something. Marriage is nothing compared to the salvation experience of a child of God. Because, listen, the scripture says, what must I do to be saved? That's only found in the scripture one time. That's only one time do we have it recorded in the scripture that anybody ever asked that question. And that question was, what must I do to be saved? And the response was a response from the Lord through Paul and his associate. And they both said, you read it when you get home, Acts 16:31, you read it. It says, they said, not Paul said, not his partner said, but they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And that is a permanent thing. Look at verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwells in us, and then notice what he says, and shall be with us forever. Listen, that individual that believes on Jesus Christ will believe on him through all eternity. There'll never be any change in that because it's a permanent experience in grace. It cannot be terminated. It's forever. Then, being saved does not depend on the will of man. I know what we're taught today. It's everywhere. That you, that I have the power to believe on Christ, to receive him. Let me show you what the scripture says. There's a powerful work of grace that has to be done in the heart of a sinner before he'll ever believe on Jesus Christ savingly. He may believe in his head that Jesus is the Son of God, but he'll never believe it in his heart. Listen, turn with me to John chapter 1. And I don't want you to take anything I say that I don't prove by the scriptures. John chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 10. He, that is Jesus Christ, was in the world, and the world was made by him. Christ created the universe. He created the stars and the galaxies and everything that's out there. It's all his work. But listen to what he says. And the world was made by him. And what? The world knew him not. Did you know the world doesn't know Jesus Christ today? They do not recognize Jesus Christ as the creator, the maintainer of the universe, and the source of salvation. They don't believe it. And you can see it anywhere on TV or in the newspapers or wherever you look. They will soon tell you that they have no confidence in Jesus Christ. But now listen, he came to his own. Now that was the Jewish nation. Salvation is of the Jews, Jesus told the woman at the well of Samaria. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. The Jews, his own nation. Jesus was a Jew. And did they receive him? Absolutely not. They went about to kill him and eventually were able to get the Romans to nail him to a cross. That's what the Jews did. Now think about it. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then he tells us how it was done, which were born not of blood. It didn't make any difference who your father was or who your mother was. There's no royal blood that will bring you to Christ, nor of the will of the flesh, the will of man, nor of the will of man, but of God. What does that say? It tells you exactly what Jesus was saying in John chapter 3. Now turn there with me. John chapter 3. Here was a man that came to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus. And he said, I know that you are a teacher come from God, for nobody can do the miracles that you do if God wasn't with him. And Jesus said, that's wonderful. I'm glad to have you as a disciple, Nicodemus, and you're going to be a great man in my service. Is that what he said? Look at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, that's in the truth, in the truth. I say unto you, except the man be born again or the second time, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you realize that Jesus knows more about this than all of the preachers that have ever lived? And he says, you've got to be born again in order to be saved. Notice again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, well then, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, Nicodemus knew the laws of physical generation, didn't he? Jesus, verse 5, Jesus answered, again, note this, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Born of water and of the Spirit. Not of baptism, but born of the water of the Word of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Well, why is that? Jesus doesn't hesitate. Tells us. Next, verse 6. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Listen, you can touch your hand or your arm or your face, and that's physical flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But note the contrast. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's something entirely different than these bodies that we can touch and feel. verse 8. The wind, and in Greek, both wind and spirit are exactly the same word. No difference. The wind blows where it wants to, and you hear the sound of it. And often when the wind is howling, we will say the wind is howling tonight. What is that? That's the sound of it. It sounds like an animal howling. We can hear it. But you open your door and look out there, and can you see it? Of course not. The wind is invisible. And he goes ahead to say, you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell from whence it comes. You don't know how it got started and how it came to where you are. You just feel the effects of it. You cannot tell where it comes from, neither or whether or where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Those are great principles of Jesus, the great teacher, and most of the world doesn't believe them. We must believe them. Scripture contains doctrine. Now let me show you. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. How do we learn about these things? What are we to do? Listen to this. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration. That's literally breathed out by God. It's not inspiration, it's spiration, out, breathing out of God. And what good does it do? Profitable for doctrine, for teaching. The Holy Spirit teaches us the scriptures. For reproof, when you do wrong, how are you reproved? The Spirit uses the scripture, and there you are. You read it in the scripture, and you know when you've done wrong. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely furnished unto every good work. How do we know what to do? According to the scriptures, because the scriptures are inspired. Now the scripture tells us who Jesus Christ is. Let me demonstrate that to you. Turn back to Matthew chapter 3. Now, if you want to know the truth of God, you got to go to the scripture. In Matthew chapter 3, this is where Jesus, you see, Jesus was born just like we are, without sin. And when he was 12 years old, he went up to the temple with his parents, his supposed father, and his mother. And they left and started back home. And they were 3 days, and they realized he wasn't in the train going back. Everybody was walking. It was a big crowd. And Joseph and Mary go back to find him. And they hunted him sorrowing. And they found him in the temple. And what was he doing? Discoursing with the doctors of the scriptures. And he said, his mother rebuked him and said, how have you dealt thus with us? We've sought you sorrowing. Do you remember what he said? Don't you know I must be about my father's business? And you know what he did? Now you teach this to your children. He went down from Jerusalem to Nazareth And he was subject unto his mother and Joseph until he became a man according to the Jewish law, which was 30 years of age. You talk about obedience. He had it. And so at 30 years of age, what did he do? He went to John the Baptist, who was God's ordained man, to get baptized. Not, and incidentally, anybody that believes that baptism is for salvation, you tell me why in the world Jesus ever got baptized. He didn't need it. He wasn't getting it to be saved, because he didn't need to be saved. He'd never been lost. He'd never committed a sin. He went to get it, to fulfill all righteousness. So here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 15, and Jesus answering when he got to John, I'll read verse 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him, that is, he baptized him. Then look what happened. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was immersed, not sprinkled, immersed, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. There are three persons in the Trinity. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And here you've got the Trinity. They're all there, the Father and the Son, because listen to the next voice, the next verse, which is the voice. And lo, a voice from heaven, this is the Father speaking now, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We know then who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he came down to redeem his people from their sins. And as a consequence, we know that the scriptures are inspired because they are revealed of God. Now, he who abides in the teaching of Jesus Christ has both the Father and the Son. Look at the text. That's 9, 2 John. Latter clause, he that abides in the doctrine, the teaching, in other words, the belief of the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. He gets the whole package, as it were. Therefore, he who abides in the teaching of Christ embraces both Jesus Christ and the Father. And this is the sum and the substance of salvation by grace, not salvation by what you do. So many people have the idea, I'm doing pretty well. I do good things for my neighbor. I read some good stuff, and I'm doing okay. No, you aren't. Not without Christ. Can't be. We have to be in Christ. And we have to have him and the Father. Jesus said in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, that is the Messiah, the Son of God. If you don't believe I am he, you shall die in your sins. Whatever you do, don't die in your sins. Look unto Jesus Christ, because there is the only place that your sins can be removed. And when he removes our sins, stated over and over in the scriptures, I will remember your sins no more. I'll put them in as far behind my back as the east is from the west. I will blot out your iniquities. That's what we all need. And that can only be found when you bow before Jesus Christ. Secondly, Christ and his doctrine are inseparable. There's so many people that have the idea that you can believe on Jesus Christ and live like the devil. Listen to what the scripture says now. Turn with me to John chapter 6. And we'll look at a couple of verses here. John chapter 6. Jesus said in verse 53. Jesus said unto them, that's John 6, 53, verily, verily, that's, and those words are very important. They mean absolute truth, absolute truth. I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Listen, in the salvation experience, Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the heart of the individual, and he can never be the same again. He's going to live for Jesus Christ. You say, absolutely perfectly? Absolutely not. But it's like a man that's going down a road and it's downhill and it's muddy. And he falls down and he slides until he hits something and he stops and he gets up again and he goes on a little further and he falls. That's the way it is in the life of a believer. But he never goes back over the hill and goes the other way. He's always going in the same direction because he has eaten the flesh and drunk the blood of Jesus Christ. And then verse 57, as the living Father has sent me and I live by the Father, so he that eats me shall, even he shall live by me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers, he's talking to the Jews, and he's talking about the manna that was rained on the children of Israel in the wilderness journey. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread, that's Jesus Christ, shall live forever. Therefore, to hold the doctrine of Jesus Christ without faith in him is an impossibility. But believing on him and refusing or rejecting his doctrine is also impossible. You can't do it. It's not something that's in the realm of possibility. It can't be. Therefore, it's kind of like this. Imagine a man standing on two horses and they're facing different directions and somebody slaps both of them and they take off running. Where's the man? On the ground. Why? You can't ride two horses going in different directions. And you can't follow Christ without believing his doctrine, and you can't have his doctrine without believing on him. And there's a lot of churches out there that prove it. They're doornail dead because they don't have Christ. They may have some of his doctrine, but you know what they do? They go through the scripture and say, well, we'll believe this right here. That looks pretty good to me. And we'll believe this right here. That I like that. But, oh, don't you talk about that predestination. Don't you talk about election. Don't you talk about a limited atonement. We don't believe that. We don't want it. You know what they're doing? They're saying we don't want Christ or God the Father. During the Civil War, was a Confederate soldier wounded in the leg. And if the rule was, if the bullet passed through a bone, an arm or a leg, it was amputation. Because the wound would get infected when it had penetrated the bone and they couldn't do anything, so they just amputated. And I've seen pictures of the Civil War hospitals and the legs were piled 20 or 30 feet high outside the place where they were operating on them. Those horrible battles. And this soldier had been hit in the leg. And the surgeon said, we got to take your leg off. And we don't have any chloroform. Chloroform was the anesthesia that was used in the Civil War so that you could have surgery without pain. But the Confederate Army was woefully short on those kind of things. They said, we don't have any chloroform, but we do have some whiskey. And he said, no. I promised my mother when I left home, I would never take any of that. I would never touch any of that strong drink. He said, just give me the stick. Because what they do, they give a man a stick and he'd put it in his mouth and bite down on it. And then they went to work and they cut off the leg and done it. You know, he did that because he had made a vow to his mother. The child of God has made a vow to Jesus Christ that he will serve him, follow him, obey him. And Christ cannot be separated from his doctrine. During the Dark Ages, those awful times when they were putting men and women and boys and girls to death by the millions, they would bring those people to the stake where they were going to burn them, the wood already around the stake. And they would say, now this was the Roman Catholic Church. They said, this is what we're going to do to you because you don't receive our doctrine. But if you want to change your mind, we won't burn you. And by the thousands, they said, we will not do it because we have made a vow before God that we believe the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That's serious. The believer then, the individual that's been saved by the grace of God, he's been born again, he's been saved, is dedicated and addicted to Christ and his doctrine. And he abides in what Jesus Christ has done. In the third place, and this is my last point, those who do not abide in the doctrine of Christ have neither Christ nor God. Are you abiding in the doctrine of Christ? I'm talking now not about what somebody over here tells you. I'm not talking about what they tell you over there. I'm not talking about what this church says or what that church back there says. I'm telling you and asking you, what about the Word of God, which is the doctrine of Jesus Christ? If you don't abide in that, you don't have it. Always looking for something else, as I mentioned in the beginning. Always jumping on to some harebrained idea, or are you satisfied with the scriptures? Are you satisfied with Jesus Christ? Are you satisfied with God the Father? Are you satisfied with God the Holy Spirit? Unfortunately, great numbers of people today have no desire, no interest, in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I mean literally. No interest in it, no desire. It doesn't appeal to them. They don't want it. They don't like it. They don't want to hear about it. And they don't go into the services to hear what the scriptures say through the preaching of the word. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, this is a man without grace. This is a man without the Holy Spirit. This is a man that does not look to Jesus Christ as his Savior, receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not? They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. As a consequence, men regularly, generally reject Christ and his teaching and choose the opposite. I was working on a job one time, and we had several Jehovah's Witnesses. And of course, Jehovah's Witnesses differ materially on Jesus Christ. They don't believe he was the Son of God. They believe he was just an elevated angel. And so one day there was one of those Jehovah's Witnesses. He came to my welding table there where I was working. And another friend came up, and this Jehovah's Witness said, "Well, one good thing," because we were talking about some things in the scriptures. He said, "One good thing is we all worship the same God." I said, "No, we don't." He got a funny look on his face. He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Let me ask you a question. Will your God send a man to a flaming, burning hell if he's an unbeliever?" And he said, "No," because I knew his doctrine. I knew what he believed. The Jehovah's Witness says there is no such thing as hell. I had my little Bible. I kept it right there in my toolbox. And here's what I read to him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Jesus said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." That destroying there doesn't mean to put him out of existence. Destroy it for a good purpose. Jesus is the one that said that. I didn't say that. I didn't put that in the Bible. That's the scripture. Therefore, without Christ, men cannot be saved. Without Christ, men cannot know God the Father. Without Christ, men cannot worship God. And without Christ, men can have no peace with God. Are you abiding in the doctrine of Jesus Christ? If you are, you have both the Father and the Son. But if not, you don't have either the Son or the Father. May the Lord bless you to look unto Jesus Christ and to be saved by his grace.